So grave defects in how the Mass is understood, and there are also grave defects in how the Catholic faith is expressed. Especially with regard to the supernatural. This is a very serious problem. When I say supernatural, I'll just give you five quick examples. Sin, grace, heaven, hell, and judgment. All of that is supernatural. When I say sin, well, sin's not just supernatural. I mean, obviously, but sin's supernatural in the sense of the consequences of sin, or especially supernatural, hell. Sin, grace, heaven, hell, and judgment. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is transmitting truths about our Catholic faith, especially about the supernatural. It has to. Right now, there are grave defects in the new Mass. And again, here I say light from Fatima. When I told you a little bit earlier that there are grave defects in how Mass is understood, it's no longer understood as God-centered and sacrificial. Well, guess what? At Fatima, our Blessed Mother places great emphasis on God and on sacrifice. Message of Fatima is kind of set aside, put God to the side, put sacrifice to the side. In many ways, that's what's happened in the new Mass. You kind of put God to the side and put the focus on just the priest and on the community, what we call anthropocentric. So, these are very serious problems. And that's why it just also saddens me when so many people ask me, they say, Father, well, is the new Mass valid? And I say, look, fine if it's valid. But you got such huge problems here. Be faithful, completely faithful to the traditional Latin Mass, the true Catholic Mass. And number three, the third reason why not to attend the new Mass. Because the new Mass, both the rite in itself, the rite itself, and the way that the faithful attend, listen carefully, the rite itself, prayers that were changed, a lot of prayers were eliminated. I don't know how many of you know about the changes. If you don't, study them. You'll realize a little bit more why you've got to go to the traditional Latin Mass. So, in the new Mass, the rite itself and the way the faithful attend is not worthy of so grand a mystery. And this is really important. And I'm going to get to this in a moment. I'm actually going to now focus a little bit more just on number three. I'm not going to say too much about the first two reasons. I gave the first reason I say because the new Mass is schismatic and then, you know, grave theological defects. You know, we could go on and on and on those. There's a lot to develop on those two points. Don't think that there isn't anything. But right now, I'm just going to spend a little bit more time on number three, which is why both the rite itself and the way the faithful attend, it's not worthy of so grand a mystery. And part of the reason why I'm doing this is because part of the point of our talk this evening is so that you will burn with more and more a desire to love and honor our Lord present in the Eucharist, to receive Him in Holy Communion worthily, to adore Him in a worthy way, as worthily as you can. And again, here, notice again, light from Fatima on this third point. Great emphasis at Fatima on making reparation to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Why will we need to make reparation to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Because in so many ways, men continue to be ungrateful and continue to be indifferent and commit outrage and sacrileges to our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's what most saddens the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because there's so many Catholics that when they're attending Mass, they're not attending Mass in a worthy way. Well, if that's the case, then you better believe a lot of reparation needs to be made to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that's light from Fatima. Sometimes I ask myself, I say, how can people who are familiar with the message of Fatima, don't they make this connection? Like, there's this great need for reparation to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then they go and they think that, oh, everything I do on Sundays and going to the new Mass and the fact that we have the new Mass all over the church, that everything's fine and no big deal because, well, you know, it's valid. Is it worthy? Is it worthy what we're doing and how we're offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass, given the great mysteries that are herein contained. And ask yourself also, not just if something is valid, ask yourself, is what we are doing pleasing to God? Is it pleasing to God? Is it giving God honor? Is it giving God glory? Or are we glorifying ourselves and glorifying the community and glorifying the environment? Now, to explain this a little bit more, I'm going to say something about a spiritual communion. Now, listen very carefully, because in a few moments, I hope to say a little bit about how you can grow in your devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And one of the ways is by making good spiritual communions. So, kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but this is going to serve to make a point. A little bit about spiritual communion. According to the Holy Council of Trent, this was Session 13, Chapter 3, we can receive communion in three ways. Now listen carefully. We can receive communion in three ways. One, sacramentally only. Two, spiritually only. And three, both at the same time, sacramentally and spiritually. Now, those persons receive sacramentally only, again remember, sacramentally only, spiritually only, and then both at the same time. Those persons receive sacramentally only whose souls are stained with mortal sin, and who consequently receive unworthily. Remember this. They are receiving a valid sacrament. They're receiving our Lord. But they're receiving Him unworthily. Is this pleasing to God? You better believe it's not. Receiving our Lord with mortal sin? It's valid. Yeah, it's valid. That's why they're receiving sacramentally. Is everybody getting the point here? But they're receiving unworthily. Ask yourselves, my children, are we offering the holy sacrifice of the Mass worthily, given what is taking place there? The question I ask is so that you realize we have to commit ourselves 100% to the traditional Latin Mass, whatever the cost. These indeed, talking about those who receive sacramentally only, these indeed receive the sacrament, and with it, instead of a blessing, a curse. How many curses have we not incurred? I can see a lot of curses that we've been incurring as Catholics, as this Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Especially when you start talking about the priesthood. I'm going to speak about the priest and about priestly celibacy on Sunday. I mean, when you see the tremendous wounds that have been inflicted upon the Catholic priesthood in the last 50 years, that in itself should be enough to convince you to make reparation for the rest of your life. And talking about a blessing and a curse, this is not insignificant. It just took place. Yesterday was the Feast of Corpus Christi. Pay attention to this. In the epistle for yesterday's Mass, in the ancient rite, it's 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 29. That's the epistle for the Mass. And like the last three verses, I think, yes, 27, 28, and 29. Read these verses, 1 Corinthians 11, 27, 28, 29. St. Paul, the inspired word of God, he's talking about what happens to those who receive the Holy Eucharist unworthily. And I wish those who have concocted an unworthy rite for Mass, I'm talking about the new Mass in general, I wish they would heed the word of God and truly heed the Holy Ghost. Not be creating a schismatic rite and then justifying it by saying that they're being guided by the Holy Ghost. The last three verses in that epistle for yesterday, Corpus Christi, St. Paul talks about the curse on those who receive our Lord unworthily. And guess what happened when the changes were made to the new Mass? These three verses were eliminated. And if you compare the reading, if you go to the new Mass and you read the reading, the epistle, the reading for Feast of Corpus Christi, it's the same verses, 1 Corinthians 11, but it's not 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 29. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. They took out 27, 28, and 29. That's crazy. And it's diabolic. It's changing the Word of God. And it makes it seem like there's no such thing as receiving unworthily. You better believe there's such a thing as receiving unworthily. What do you think is happening if a person receives the Holy Communion, receives our Lord in the state of mortal sin?